34. Lydia. The snow-dusted streets were loud with angry voices as the temple soldiers escorted Lydia through Mudare, civilians shouting and throwing trash in their direction from windows and doors. Broken furniture and belongings littered the ground, looters moving through empty homes to steal anything of value. Plumes of smoke rising from at least 6 locations, suggesting they were burning the rest. But worse were the bodies. Some were nothing more than charred remains, blighters that had been decapitated and then burned. But many more lay rotting among the debris, legs sticking from alleyways and splashes of blood marring the pristine white of the snow. "They're starting to fight back," one of the soldiers said, obviously seeing her horror.
"To defend the blighters when we come for them."
Lydia had known this would happen, had known that hunting them down and murdering them in front of their families was the worst possible strategy. Yet despite days of searching, she still hadn't come up with a viable alternative. Her research in the temple's library had yielded nothing of use. And although Lena and Gwen had had some success integrating themselves with the civilians, they'd yet to find someone sick with blight who was willing to risk meeting her. And seeing what she was seeing on the streets, Lydia couldn't blame them. A barefoot woman chose that moment to sprint past them, tears flooding down her cheeks. In hot pursuit were a group of soldiers, naked blades gripped in their hands, but she was fast enough that there was a chance she might get away. Except, as Lydia watched, another group of soldiers with a white-robed healer in their midst stepped out from a side street, cutting her off. The woman slipped and fell, then scrambled to her feet, screaming, "Help! Help me!" She was a blighter, a walking corpse. But that wasn't what the civilians teeming from buildings and side streets saw. In their eyes, she was an unarmed woman about to be slaughtered by her own countrymen for no other reason than that a healer had pointed a finger in her direction. A healer who just happened to be Cinta. The older woman had a sword strapped to her waist, and as the soldiers she was with moved to fend off the encroaching civilians, she drew the blade, striding toward the blighter. The woman fell to her knees at Cinta's approach, holding up her arms in defense, begging and pleading for mercy. But Cinta only lifted her blade, the wind blowing her hair in silvery swirls around her face, half-moon tattoo stark black against the pale skin of her forehead, as she shouted, "In the name of the Six!" Lydia tried to lunge in their direction, but one of her escort caught her arm, hauling her back. It was too late anyway. Cinta's blade flashed, slicing through the blighter's arm and then her neck, blood spraying as the body slowly fell backward. Taking the torch from one of her soldiers, Cinta held it to the woman's ragged clothing until it ignited, the awful smell of burned flesh filling the air. More Royal Army soldiers raced onto the scene, their blades clashing against the cudgels and planks of wood the civilians carried, more blood spraying, more bodies falling. And Cinta was in the thick of it, cutting people down with vigor that belied her age, using the strength given to her by her mark to do the exact opposite of what it was intended to. Marked or not, how anyone could see her as a healer, Lydia didn't know.
"We need to be gone."
One of the soldiers dragged on Lydia's arm.
"If you're noticed, they'll come for you."
She allowed him to pull her up the street, the group breaking into a run until they reached the barricades at the palace walls. The soldiers there allowed her to pass, but asked her escort to remain.
"They aren't infected," she protested. "Let them through."
"King's orders,"
the soldier in charge said, the expression on his face telling her that he wouldn't be swayed. Gritting her teeth, Lydia entered alone,
making her way through the Royal Army camp. She scanned the soldiers within to see if any had been turned, but every man she saw was very much alive. A servant met her at the entrance and escorted her directly to the council chambers. Inside, she found the king sitting on his throne, his eyes closed. His face was drawn and shadowed with exhaustion, his blonde braid unkempt, and his clothing wrinkled and marked with sweat stains at the armpits.
"You made promises you are clearly incapable of keeping, marked one,"
he said without opening his eyes. "I made no promises," she answered, slowly approaching the dais and wishing they were not alone. "I only offered hope." He sighed.
"Hope, when proven false, is a bitter thing."
Silence that she didn't dare break stretched between them. She'd spent all of her arguments, voiced her pleas that the infected be brought to her rather than killed, but it had done no good.
"There is a ship soon to arrive,"
he finally said.
"It holds all the young healers Quindor had ordered to be trained in Serlania instead of adding mouths to feed in Mudaire during the war."
Her chest tightened, apprehension prickling across her skin.
"Unless you are able to provide me an alternative,"
he continued.
"Once they arrive, we will begin the process of purging the city and forcing those left onto ships. And then Mudaire will be razed, the gates closed, and what remains abandoned as we retreat to the south out of range of the Blight."
Nearly a quarter of Mudamora would be deadland belonging to the Corruptor. The north entirely cut off from the south except by way of ship. What if the Blight begins to spread again?
"Then we'll know for certain that the Six have turned their backs on Mudamora."
They hadn't. She knew in her heart that they hadn't. It was only that the Corruptor had somehow grown so very strong.
"You have until the ship arrives, Lydia,"
he said. Then he opened his eyes, and the unflinching determination in them made her stomach twist.
"I pray it will be enough time for you to prove that Hegeria still walks with us."